welcome to the call. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Francis Point
from Concord Martinez, California.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Do you have that screen up where you can see?
Well, I actually would have, but I'm away from it.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the call. Whoever just joined us, would you like to say your name and city?
Yes, Dharmananda in Boulder Creek, California.
Hi, welcome. How are you tonight?
How are you? Good.
Good.
Hey, Dharmananda. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Don?
Hi, welcome. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city? Oh, that echo is terrible. If anyone's on speaker, can you take the speaker off?
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Testing.
Is mine echoing?
Testing. I think it's. Yeah. Yeah. Still there.
What?
Still there. I can't stand the sound of my own voice.
Usually it's someone on a speakerphone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, as long as when comes on, he's not echoing.
When he's not echoing.
Talk matters.
I'm on VOIP.
Blowing my mind.
Hi, welcome to the call.
Hi, this is Suzanne in Columbus. Hello.
Hi there. We've got a terrible echo on the phone.
I don't know why.
I hear it.
It's really bad echo.
Somebody might be listening to their radio.
Should I mute myself and see if it's me?
Okay.
It's not you.
Okay. Hello?
Testing.
Echo?
Your input is...
Kind of a delay to it. Yeah, there's like a two second delay.
I got an idea. Like, what if we muted the whole line and then everybody hit star six.
Okay. Hi, welcome to the call, everyone.
Your name is City.
Hi, this is Bonnie in Corona.
This is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Welcome to the call. Would you like to say name and city, please? Oh, at least we've gotten rid of that echo. Thank heavens.
Yes, the echo is gone.
Yes.
Hi, this is Terry.
Hi, Jerry. I'm on the phone, Alton.
Should I call back? No, not you. I don't think it's you.
What do you want, Alice? I'm on the phone.
Hi, welcome to the call. Anyone want to say their name and city? Welcome to the call tonight.
Yeah, Rick, got some Iowa.
You're welcome tonight.
Hi, Rick.
Everyone's afraid to say something.
I know.
That's a crazy echo.
If we mute the whole line, then I think that it would get rid of it.
Yeah.
The whole line, then I think that it would get rid of it.
Somebody needs to clear the energy. Maybe when mutes it, then it'll clear. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Maybe the
Hi, welcome to the call. Hi, welcome to the Monday night call. Would you like to see your name and city?
Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
Still got
Hi,
an
welcome
echo?
To the call.
It's Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. We've got an echo
Hi,
on the,
Colleen.
On the, yes, we've got a terrible echo on the phone tonight.
It's Wynn. You know what?
Hi, Wynn.
When I mute everybody, it'll go off. Okay?
I hope so.
Let's try it. Terry Friedman, are you on the line?
What? Yeah.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, everybody's muted. Can you guys...
How do I unmute myself?
You're not muted. We hear you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, Colleen, are we okay? Hello, Colleen?
Yes, you're very good. Yes, you're very good. I had to unmute myself.
No echo.
No
right?
echo. No, it's perfect.
If I am muted, how do I unmute myself?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about muting yourself. Yeah.
We'll control the mute over here, okay?
All right. Okay.
If you get out of line, we're going to mute you. Okay?
I'm trying to behave myself.
Behave yourself. No flirting, okay?
Oh, hey. I don't want to hear that. I want to flirt.
any of the ladies on the line want to flirt with Terry? Hang on, I'm going to unmute you all.
All callers are unmuted.
Hi, Dr. Friedman.
Hi there. Don't put him on the spot.
Hi, handsome man.
Hi there.
Terry Friedman, my name is Carolyn, and I asked you just before I left to be gone, I could start reading your book to people there, and there are people over there, and we were almost finished reading, and they love your book.
That's so good.
And so now I've started reading someone here too.
She's in Uganda, okay?
She goes
to Uganda to work with at a school there.
Every year. Good, yeah.
Okay. So they're reading your book in Uganda.
Yes.
Okay.
I wish you were there every time I sit down to start reading, because people love this book. And it's the same thing that happened to me. It makes me feel like Jesus was really human. He was alive. And you've given us all such a gift. And thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. He's the one that gave me the book.
Carolyn, you're not exactly flirting. But I guess it'll pass, okay?
Well, it's 100% admiration is what it is.
All right. That's better, I think, okay? Flirting only lasts for a little bit, but admiration lasts for a long time.
Yes,
anyone
it
else
does.
Have anything? Anybody? I should be recording this, Terry, don't
Sorry.
You think? I'm going to record this. Hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is... December 21st, 2015, and we're four days before Christmas, and we have Terry Brown and Terry Friedman on the line. Terry Brown's in Sedona, Terry Friedman's in Phoenix, right. And we are going to do a super show tonight, and Terry has honored us to be his guest. You know, he's not that well. It's a strain for him to come on and talk, and he always gets nervous that he's going to sound funny, but he's doing really well. And just before we started the tape recorder, Carolyn was talking, and Carolyn is someone who's a regular on our line that goes to Uganda, and she's doing miracles. She's a teacher there, correct?
Yes.
And she's doing miracles with students in Uganda. And, you know, she's taken some of the energy that she's picked up on our line, and she's been able to go from being a regular teacher to stop it. You know, in Uganda, in the schools, I believe, stop me if I get this wrong.
All the schools and all the homes also beat. That's why I'm working with the teachers of this school, so that they have agreed to teach this, all the parents of the children that go to that school, over 1,200 of them, to teach the parents not to be, to teach them positive discipline. And this...
In other words, up till you, it was very standard for students to get beaten in school and for parents to beat their children, correct?
It is. And right after I got back, I was reading that this father of a 12-year-old came. He had left a little bit of change on the table when he went to work, and he came back and was gone. So he just beat his 12-year-old son to death
because
he assumed that his son had taken it, and that's not unusual. It happens all the time. So teaching the teachers is the first step. Teaching the parents is the second step.
Was it legal for him to do that? Did he get arrested for doing it?
Well, not really.
He didn't get arrested.
You don't understand. The law there is as corrupt as the government,
mm-hmm.
and so it's a very different country. But when I ask my children in my class, and I say, "Has anyone been beaten in the last 3 or 4 weeks?" They say no. And I say, "Has anybody been beaten in the last 6 to 8 weeks?" And they get really quiet, and a couple of students will raise their hands and they'll say, "Oh, no, teacher, we have positive discipline here."
Now, Carolyn,
so they know.
What country is this?
Uganda, in Africa.
Uganda. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
okay.
So, Carolyn, how long have you been going to Uganda?
8 years, but I don't go all year. I go twice a year for 3 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So this last visit was my 16th visit.
And you're going on your own nickel. Is that correct?
It's tough.
No one,
but
no,
I save no, everything no, I can. No one is sponsoring me.
Right. And so Carolyn, just before the call started, was telling us, you know, how she was reading Terry Friedman's book to the students there. And
no,
there's
some grown-ups. I ask them, I tell them a little bit about the book, and I ask them if they would like to start reading it. And as soon as I start reading it, they're hooked. They want more, and nobody has much time. And so I book people, and then I mark on my digital copy where they are in the book after we finish. And I've got a couple people that are almost through with the book. And as soon as I can afford it, I will buy more books, digital copies, and send them to them. I read them that section.
I'll bet I can get Terry's permission to let us send some digital copies, and we won't charge them. How's that sound?
Okay, that's wonderful, but I don't have emails for them. But I can send them to someone who will take them.
And maybe we'll even donate some books for you to take.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to cry. This would be beautiful.
I would like to donate some books.
And not only
Terry, thank you.
Not only that, we're going to have Terry give a special audio to the children in...
It's adults that I reach. It's adults I reach to.
Okay, to the adults in Uganda, okay? You can actually interview. You can interview Terry. We'll interview him together, and you'll have that audio to share with everybody there, okay?
Ah, that would be a miracle. That would just be so... It's already an incredible gift, and that would make it a double incredible gift.
That would be easy.
Oh.
Miracles, we can't do that. That's easy. It doesn't even cost us any money. So stay on the case with that and keep us informed. I just want to ask you a question. You know, we have some people that might be listening for the first time tonight. Did you have a background as a traditional Christian?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I got Sunday school for 7 years.
Me?
Let me mute everybody. Hang on. Wait a second. Let me mute. Okay. Hang on. I'm good.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So, wait a second. Carolyn, do star six, would you please? Star six. Maybe I can figure out how to do this. Hang on a second. Star six, and say something. Let's see. Wait a second. Come on.
All callers are unmuted.
I did star six twice.
Wait a second. Keep talking a second.
I did star six twice, and then it wasn't until you did it. That
all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Carolyn?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We got you. We did it. I did it. Okay.
You did it. Good for you.
I did it. So you were, what religion were you?
Well, Christian. Not
just
Catholic.
General.
I went to Methodist churches when I was young. And then when I grew up, I switched to the Lutheran church. And I taught Sunday school and Vacation Church School for 7 years, including a confirmation. In the Lutheran Church.
Okay. And when you Zoe introduced you, correct, to our group?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what made you open to our work when you came in?
Oh, I started reading Edgar Cayce 20 years ago.
Okay. All right.
And then I've read some others also. So this whole subject just seems to make sense to me.
Yeah. So you are kind of a liberal, fairly liberal Christian, in other words.
Yes, I would be labeled that.
Yeah. Okay. And Terry Friedman, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Are you
Terry,
can I
ask you a question about manifesting? You give the directions of manifesting in your book, and can just ordinary people like me or anybody who's reading the book, can we do that?
Absolutely.
Can we manifest?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Do it.
Well, I started, and the first thing I decided to work on was rain in California, Oregon, and Washington. And now that I'm back, it's raining, and I don't know if it's raining anyplace else. But, and who knows, you know, I mean, God listens to everybody. I love this book. This book has made me feel so free and so loved that it's unbelievable. And it's just, I think of you every day. I include you in my prayers. And here's a big hug.
Thank you. I receive it in love. Okay.
Yes.
Carolyn.
Yes.
I got a job for you. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
We're starting a cheer up committee for Terry Friedman.
Uh-huh.
So that he stays in contact with people. that your job is every day you have to call him and tell him a joke.
I could do that.
You can find all kinds of jokes on the internet. They can even be dirty jokes. Okay.
Have you sent his phone number?
I don't want to send his phone number out because I don't want to make it that off.
Well, just send it to me so I have it.
I'll send you his phone number. And that's okay. If anyone really feels a special affinity, I'm going to review you and audition you and interview you because, you know, one of the things is if you're going to do something like this, you can't call Terry up and be gaga. Oh my God, I'm talking to Matthew.
I promise I won't.
Terry is an ordinary person, and he's as screwed up as the rest of us, if not more so. So the fact that he happened to have an incarnation as Matthew, it was like pretty amazing to realize that they were all a bunch of humans, including Jesus. And he did something extraordinary, but he did it from out of being a human, okay? And there were so many... And, you know, we're going to be doing a Christmas Eve session with Terry, okay? Do not miss that. Also, on the email I sent out today, I invited everybody to send Terry a card or a present, and I'm sending them to his caregiver, Adele, and she'll deliver them. Or you can make a donation, and he will really appreciate it, okay?
Okay.
The Christmas Eve thing, we're not charging for. I don't want to charge it. We can't charge for these kinds of things, okay? So everyone's welcome, and I hope you come. We did it last year, and it was amazing. And usually, you know, Terry tells me that Jesus is paying attention to him from the other side, which means if that's correct, we could expect the spirit of Jesus to be on the line, as well as the Christ consciousness. What do you think, Terry? Is that possible?
Of course.
Yeah. So,
wow.
This is a really rare opportunity, so do not miss it. Christmas Eve, I think, Terry, if it's Christmas Eve, would be Thursday night. It will be 6 p.m. good for you, Terry?
Yes, that's fine.
Is your dinner finished by that time there?
I have no plan, yes. Certainly,
okay.
Yes. I have no plan. I can always alter the plans, but usually...
Okay, in fact, Terry Brown and I are going to go down to Phoenix, and we're going to spend at least 2 days, maybe 3 days, and we're going to have a big party with Terry.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
And we might record it and share it with people. Okay.
Well, you know, everyone would love that.
Yeah. And Terry then will have to be on good behavior if I have the video recorder running.
No. That would be very hard for me.
That's right. You don't have to, Terry. You have permission to be your own true self, as raucous as possible.
Well, I don't have to be on good behavior, do I?
No. No, party time is party time.
Well, last time we went to Phoenix, Terry, you know, just if you don't understand, Terry has some form of MS, and he's somewhat paralyzed, crippled. He's in a wheelchair. So we have to run him around in a wheelchair to get to places. And he's a lot of fun, usually. And, you know, one of the reasons it's very cool to send him cards and letters and donations is because, you know, it gets lonely there. Not that many people in the nursing home can relate to him as to who he is. Is that true, Terry?
Yeah, they somewhat open. I spoke to the crowd here, and I had a large group of people come to my lecture. So, they're just regular people,
right?
So,
I mean, you didn't lecture them and tell them you were Matthew, did you?
No.
Whenever I go there and visit Terry, sometimes we have dinner in the lunchroom there, and Terry is sitting next to me, and I am always getting myself in trouble, and he's looking at me, and his eyes roll upwards, because somehow or another, I kind of bring it out to people, and I hope they'll treat him better if they consider that, you know?
Good
and
for you.
I don't know if it works. Does it work, Terry? It doesn't really work, does it?
No, they can't. They probably don't believe in it.
Yeah.
They probably don't believe in it, though. Well,
mm-hmm.
It's all right.
Well, Terry looks at me and he says, there's my crazy friend from Sedona. You know how Sedona yeah. people are, right? But, you know, it's very interesting. You know, we have done talks in the past, and I have been putting all kinds of stuff together over the past years, and I was doing it before I met Terry. It's just amazing that I met Terry Friedman. It's like it was a total kind of synchronistic encounter. I met him at a expo in Sedona, and I was supposed to do a workshop there. And Terry was there, just his caregiver, Adele, was with him. And he was eating on the outdoor patio, and Terry Brown had somehow joined him. And Terry makes really good intuitive choices. Terry, are you there? Terry Brown?
Yeah, I'm here, yes.
What made you sit down with Terry? What made you sit down there with him?
Adele invited me to sit with them.
But you didn't know Adele, did you?
Well, she had learned about me, and she was wanting to meet me.
Okay. How did she learn about you? Because this is before I ever met Terry.
I think she walked by me at the booth. We had a booth there.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And she walked by me at the booth and wanted to get to know me or meet me. And so she mm-hmm. invited me to sit with her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you sat with him, right?
Yeah, right. And then you came by.
And then I came by and I sat down with him. Now, we had no idea. I had no idea who these people were, you know? And as I recall, Terry and I got in kind of an argument about metaphysical stuff. Do you remember that, Terry?
Yeah.
I don't remember what we're arguing about, but I know that we were...
It's important.
Huh?
It's not important.
No. It's not. It's just the funny way that people get together. And then I did my workshop later, and of all things, there is Terry at my workshop, and he was the last person I expected to be at my workshop. And he was sitting there smiling and glowing in the background, and then afterwards, I kept in touch with him. Now, remember, I have no idea about the man who walked with Jesus at this point. But I'm keeping in touch with him, and a few months later, I was in Phoenix, and I decided to visit him. And I'm sitting at his dining room table, and there is the book on the table, The Man Who Walked with Jesus. And I picked it up and started thumbing through it, and my first impulse was, this guy has a really good imagination. Because he was writing the story of Jesus from the point of view of Matthew. And I said, well, what a clever idea. And then I kept reading it, and the energy started popping off the page. I could feel the energy popping off the page. And You know, I have that same experience when I read our Elohim material. I have that same experience with certain material carries a vibration with it. And I looked up at Terry, and I said, I'll never forget this moment, okay? I said, you were Matthew, weren't you? And Terry looked at the floor almost ashamed, because he didn't really say it in the book. He was looked ashamed, and he said, yes. And it's like it was so hard for him to ever tell anybody that he was Matthew, because, you know, this lifetime, he's been a very distinguished alternative medical doctor. He was one of the founders of holistic medicine in this country, one of the pioneers. And when he came out with his Man Who Walked with Jesus book, all of his peer group looked away and stopped talking to him, thought he was a nutcase. And he was so devastated by that he had 500 books printed, and he put them in his closet and stopped talking about it. And the way he was marketing it was, if someone came into the dining room and picked it up off of his table, they would find out about it, right? Otherwise, it was on Amazon. And there were people that were accidentally discovering it on Amazon. And then I didn't, even though Terry said he was Matthew, I don't believe those things. But I did know that I had an experience. I'll be talking about, on Christmas Eve, I'll be talking about how I personally convinced myself that he was Matthew. And the story of Matthew and Jesus, as told through Terry, is just amazing, because there's no hierarchy. There's no, like, genuflecting. Jesus was just this incredibly loving guy, and he was able to radiate love into his environment, and other people could feel it. And you know, my take is that part of Jesus was connecting with the two group souls we work with, but I don't make Terry agree to that. But I'm pretty sure there was a connection with the Ra group and the Elohim group. And I did a lot of research and study to try to figure out if it all fit. And it did. But in any case, the main thing is the book portrays Jesus in a human way, not as an exalted person. And everything grew around Jesus because of how loving he was and because of the miracles that happened around him, not because it was important to recognize him as a Messiah. Am I right there, Terry, when I say that?
Yes, pretty much so, yes.
Yeah.
He kind of discouraged us from doing miracles. He said, I'd rather we wouldn't do it. That's kind of the last minute. If you need to get a little attention, you can do it. But he said, let's not focus on miracles, please. Mm-hmm. That was his word to us.
Yeah, and you know, the Ra groups have said that, you know, they've done various miracles. They never publicly, anything written, except maybe one time, made a connection with Jesus. But they've said that they don't like doing miracles because miracles cause people to give up their power and defer to somebody else. And the higher realms, or the highest realms, do not want people to give up their power. They want you to have power. They want you to be empowered. And when you're doing what sometimes traditionally religious people would call God's will, it sounds like God has a will for you that you have to do. And as I get it, it's really you don't have a specific thing that you're supposed to do. You are supposed to learn how to tap into God's love, in which case you radiate out to other people, and other people get it when you're doing it, and then you can create from your own self on that love. We're doing that on these calls all the time, and I don't feel like I'm doing anybody's will. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm learning as I go all the time, and yet I do know there's an incredible loving energy on these calls, and that the people that keep coming to our calls start to change. They start to connect with that loving energy and bring it into their own life, and that's what's important. It's not about following anything. You might pay attention to something over a period of time, and even your entire life. But paying attention is not the same as following. There's nothing you're supposed to do that would be God's will. You are an expression of part of God in this realm. You're part of God. You're part of all that is. And each of us is a small part of all that is. And our job is to figure out how to experience ourselves as that, and then how to use that experience in a way that can uplift other people. And I believe that's what Jesus was demonstrating and doing. But let me see. I better not say that unless Terry gives his 2 cents. What do you think, Terry? Is that about right?
Well, basically, that's pretty much a summary of what was happening. The fact that the 12, they chose 12, was no accident. It told me a long, long time before this occasion that would I be part of his program on this earth? Yes, I would. So I committed myself for a very, very long time to go through this with him. And part of the things he wanted to know is how to present this brand new concept of what is called Christianism. And that was what it was all about.
What was it called? What was it called?
Well, Christianity.
Christianity, yeah.
Christianity, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he had. This is not a thing that was done overnight. He had years and years and years of planning. He had asked me to come and get involved here. I came like he did from another planet. To be part of it, be part of his group. And I know that every one of the disciples with me exemplified a portion of his personality, of Jesus' personality. By ourselves, we were predominantly one particular personality. However, put it all together, all 12, and you'll have 12 aspects of Jesus' personality. And so he chose who would come and participate very, very carefully. And he planned for a very long, long period of time how to present this philosophy, this religion, if you will. How to do that, how to do it correctly. And that was a very important thing, getting this to be noted by people in general. So that's why I agreed to join him, because he convinced me this was something that should be done here in the earth. So I came here and participated with him as he requested from me. We all reflect, all 12 reflect a certain aspect of Jesus' personality. He was a complete individual, and I hope to be someday a complete individual. But that's our goal. And so we all participated in this, including Judas. He's a wonderful part of this whole plan. So just be patient with us. We're still learning.
Jerry, don't tell too much because we want to save it for Christmas Eve. Okay.
All right. Okay.
I was going to ask you tonight. You know, we talk about reincarnation. Obviously, I wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce talked a huge amount about reincarnation, and Edgar Cayce was a fundamentalist Christian. And most Christians don't believe in reincarnation. It's not part of the Bible, you know? And
yeah.
Obviously, you believe in reincarnation.
Well, I must tell you, there's parts of the Bible that talk about reincarnation.
You've
got to read a little deeper.
I'm going to talk about I'm going to talk about that this evening, okay?
Right.
That some of those parts of the Bible that talk about reincarnation. You know, one thing that never resonated with me about Christianity is this idea that you get one life to do it right, and then you go to heaven or hell. It didn't make sense. How would God be so unfair to do that? In other words, some people come from very loving spiritual families, and it tends to rub off on them. And they grow up, and they're very loving, and they carry that energy. Other people come from families that are nightmares, drug dealers, prostitutes, whatever, murderers. And they grow up in that family and in that neighborhood. How can that person have one chance to get it right? I mean, even Jesus said, he said, the sins of the parents are visited upon the children. Well, that would mean if somebody grew up in with parents that were, so to speak, sinful, then they would have no chance. I mean, the sins of the parents are visited upon the children. Then they get one lifetime, and then they go to hell for the rest of eternity, and they weren't saved. And then how can you take, like, people who they never heard of Jesus? I am sure there's still areas in the world, and there certainly were 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, where the word of Jesus didn't get there. And do those people all go to hell because they didn't follow Jesus? It didn't make sense. There was something wrong. And, of course, Edgar Cayce believed it was the Christ speaking to him. Terry, how did you come to believe in the concept of reincarnation?
Well, I think that I went to a traditional church, a Presbyterian church, growing up. I felt there was something lacking. It was incomplete, the teaching. So therefore, very quickly, did I gravitate to Edgar Cayce's teaching, because it made a lot of sense. It was more in line with what I believe in my heart. So that's how I basically was introduced and read everything about Edgar Cayce and believed that he was on the right track. Even though I was a faithful Presbyterian, I just felt there was something missing. And I got the rest of the education from Edgar Cayce readings, his books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, if you do a search on the Bible and reincarnation, you'll find many people have taken the Bible apart and found things that were very suggestive of reincarnation in the Bible. And there was, I think there was very likely more stuff about reincarnation because the Bible went through this huge editing process. I think it was 200 or 300 years afterwards. And there was a group of church people under the name the Council of Nicaea, N-I-C-E-A. And they were editing the Bible and taking things out, putting things in. And I think they tried to edit out reincarnation. But even in spite of that, there were still many things in the Bible. I don't know if Terry Friedman has studied this, but for example, in the Bible, somewhere it said, let's see, John the Baptist said that Elijah must come before the Messiah, okay? And this is in the Bible. This is under Matthew. And here, I'll read it. And the disciples asked him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" But he answered them and said, "Elijah is indeed to come and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also shall the Son of Man suffer at their hand." Then the disciples understood that he had spoken of John the Baptist. So there is Jesus saying, essentially, that John the Baptist was Elijah come back, and that was through the book of Matthew, okay? And, yeah. I mean, what does that mean if it's not reincarnation, okay? And you're familiar with that one, right, Terry?
I am, and I've talked about it much. And when I went to Israel, I was quite disappointed that there was teachings in the Jewish religion.
Yeah.
It was definitely against that. And so I spoke up during a meeting we had and was shouted down by a group of Jewish scholars.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been afraid to speak up and say what I believe and what I know, what I in my heart know is true. Mm-hmm. So it does bother me.
All right. And then here's another Bible verse. This was in Corinthians, and this is Paul discussing the process of resurrection. And then it says, i.e., reincarnation. But so, and here, I'll just read the quote. "But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps, of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon has another, and the stars another, and the star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. All right, I don't know if that is how much that relates to reincarnation. I'm looking for this other one about when a guy was born blind and somebody asked Jesus, you know this one, Terry? You know the one I'm talking about? When they asked Jesus, was the man blind because he sinned, or was he blind because his parents sinned? Okay?
Yeah.
So, if he was blind because his parents sinned, you know, or if he sinned, see, the thing is if it was him that sinned, he was born blind. So when did he have a chance to sin? If not in a previous lifetime, right? So the implication there, the implication was that that reincarnation existed because he had to have sinned in a past life to be born blind. Okay? And there's quite a few things in the Bible. I'm not going to go through any more of them, but, you know, that those are two of them. I mean, maybe Terry has one that he knows about to share. Do you have one to share, Terry?
I can't think of anyone right now, but, that's very true. Basically, that's one of the main ones. Better examples of that.
And then, Terry, in this lifetime, he had a friend who was able to read past lives. And she had told him that he was a certain person who was famous, and he was one of the founders of the country. I'm not going to say who it was, but Terry told me who it was, and I looked them up, and Terry was a spitting image of that person. Okay, as most of you know, that we have discovered, and I'm not the only one that's discovered this, but it's a rare discovery, that people look like their past lifetimes, because the DNA travels in the it travels in the soul stream. So when the soul comes into a new body, it programs the DNA in the new body to look like the past lifetime. And so when Terry told me who he was, or who she said she was, you were kind of amazed, Terry, when I came back and showed you the picture, right? Uh-oh. Let's see. Terry, are you there? Let's see if anybody's here. Hang on. Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you.
We hear you, but I didn't hear Terry.
I'm here.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Terry, are you there? You know what? We got 2 minutes to go. So I'm not going to try to fetch him. But we will be back Christmas Eve, God willing, and if Terry is up for it, which he probably will be. So,
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we hear you now. What happened to you?
Okay.
What happened?
I think they muted everybody. I don't know.
Are you spending too much time with Terry Brown? Terry Brown it's taken us like 5 years for her to learn how to unmute, and I think she has it now. Okay.
I hit the wrong button and then disconnect myself or something, you know, in the past.
You know, people used to email me, "Stop being so mean to Terry. Don't tease her about her unmuting ability." And but she didn't take it personally. You know, we were trying to do a professional sounding show, and I'd say, Terry, and nobody would be there. Terry, Earth to Terry. And then, you know, I made fun about it just so that it would be part of the flow. And but she's doing really a lot better now. And she's pretty much unmuted. And Terry Friedman, we got one minute left. I'm just going to tell, if anyone's listening, and probably most of the people that are regulars have read Terry's book. But if you haven't, it's in today's email that I sent, manwhowalked.com, manwhowalked.com. You can watch me interviewing Terry. Be skeptical. Don't believe that he's really Matthew. But get some excerpts from the book. You can sign up and read them. And, you know, the PDF of the book, you know, the donation is, you know, as low as $5. It's worth it, really. It's an amazing story. And if you are influenced by Jesus, you'll love it. And if you're skeptical, you'll love it. And if you're an atheist, you'll love it. So far.
It's an awesome story. I love you, Uncle Terry.
Thank you.
So, if you want to send Terry a card or a present or make a donation, it's in today's email, the address to send it to. Even if it's going to get there after Christmas, it's okay, all right? Because it'll really be meaningful to him. I know for him, it is such a deep reward to be able to put this out into the world and get it to people. And it fulfills something that has been very deep in him. I think it's been a great frustration because it was sitting in his closet. He didn't know how to get it out into the world until I found it and said, you know what, I can talk about this to my group, but it's not too far out. And so it's quite amazing for me to be in this position. And let's take a moment. It's 7:56. We're going to be finished in a half a minute, okay? Let's take a moment and send Jesus love. Send Terry love and send Jesus love. Because Terry tells me that Jesus is paying attention to him. So a moment of silence. And who knows, maybe Christmas Eve, Jesus will have a message for us. On that note, I'm going to mute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Everybody's unmuted. I should mention every Saturday afternoon, we have a little conference call where Terry just hangs out with people and they ask him questions. And you are all invited. So send me an email. Tell me you want to be on that call, and I'll make sure that Marilyn Hausman sends you the access information. All right. We'll just see you all later. Thank you, Terry, for being here.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Colleen.
Your conference recording has stopped.